He then moves on to what he calls idolatrous atheism. He says, as he's indicated here, idolatry and atheism are not as distinct from each other or opposed to each other as they might initially appear to be. Atheism, he tells us, needs idolatry. You cannot live consistently as a relativist without some constant, absolute meaning in life. And so this is a second or third time he makes this point, right? You need something in order to live consistently, some absolute meaning in life. You just can't say, no, it's all, you know, movements in the void or whatever. Right? No, you need something to do that. And so you can't live, he says, consistently without something like that. And so atheism needs idolatry. And he says relativists are always dogmatic about excluding non-relativist ideas. For example, when they say that people should not impose their values on others, right? Also, though, idolatry needs atheism. The choice of worship of, you know, of a false god is ultimately irrational and rebellious. And thus, most unbelievers, he says, combine these motifs in various ways. They need each other is the point that he's making, both idolatry and atheism.
Right. How dare the Christian baker not bake a cake for gay weddings? You're imposing your belief on us. Now get in the bakery and bake us a cake. Okay. I think someone's imposing, and it seems to be the other way around. Yes,
yeah,
you're right.
Yeah. Who's imposing what?
And right. Yeah. Exactly.
Who gets to impose, right?
Who imposes the imposers?
That's right.